I'm Alex Chadwick, and this is Day to Day. And now, let's dip into the mailbag. Well, okay, it's not a mailbag. It's an electronic box called daytoday at npr.org. But anyway, we got letters about our first letter, which we read on the air last week. It was about our tribute to Bob Hope. We played a few minutes of his monologue from a 1946 radio show, and 28-year-old Fritz Gugelman from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, just didn't think Bob Hope was funny. But Susan Cochran of Wilmington, Delaware, responded saying, "I too am 28 and grew up watching late-night reruns of Jack Benny, George and Gracie Allen, and listening to recordings of old-time radio shows. Those shotgun-delivered one-liners have me rolling every time."
I was met at the airport by a brass band. Well, it wasn't exactly a brass band. A Girl Scout with braces on her teeth came up and smiled.
If you're thinking of calling a psychic hotline to find out if the person's going to come back, save your money. The person's not coming back.
Our interview with Emily Yaffe, the human guinea pig who got a job as a telephone psychic, triggered a psychic memory for Troy Crago of Fort Lauderdale. A tarot reader once told him he would marry a beautiful woman and have four children. He writes, "I laughed and told her I was sterile and gay." Without missing a beat, the psychic said, "Well, I didn't mean in this lifetime. That'll be $10. To which I replied, "Whoops, I left my wallet in my other lifetime's pants." Last Friday, we had our staff read some responses to a Washington Post poll which asked, "Do Muslims and Christians and Jews pray to the same God?" We asked for your thoughts on this question, and among the responses, we got this one from Victor Swindell of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
According to the Bible, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Ishmael, and six other sons. From Isaac came Jacob and Esau. And from Isaac, we got the Jews, and later Christ sprang. And then from Ishmael and Esau, we came to Muslim. And so the question was, do they all pray to the same God? The answer is yes, but do they all listen to exactly what he says? No.
Listener Victor Swindell. More mail came in about our conversation with Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates about the meaning of the phrase, "that sucks." Several listeners wrote in to say its origin goes back to the early 19th century sucking lemons, a now quaint-sounding way of describing something objectionable. But by far, our listeners, at least those who bother writing in about such things, agreed with Hunter Ellenboss from Kirkland, Washington. The origin of the term, she writes, may come from an old agricultural colloquialism, "sucks hind tit." The idea is that the runniest animal in a litter of pigs is unable to get any but the hindmost teat. Therefore, something that is weak sucks hind tit, which was then simply shortened to suck. And finally, William Sapphire, relax, as our listeners are ever vigilant with the language.
"Dear Mr. Chadwick, I was shocked, shocked at your language during the final segment of Friday's show."
This is day-to-day listener Everett Howe of San Diego.
"You fell far below the usually high NPR standards. I refer, of course, to your use of the phrase, beg the question.
Original meeting, but it does beg the question, if that's...
It would have been better to say that it raises the question. As the OED puts it, to beg the question means to take for granted the matter in dispute."
Thank you so much, Everett. And that's letters for this week. You can write us. The address is daytoday at npr.org. Remember to tell us how to pronounce your name, please. Or you can give us a call and pronounce it yourself. The number is 310-841-5180. That number again, 310-841-5180. 510-841-5180.